Have you ever thought about like how central the idea of being in Christ is to the New Testament? It's like this deep personal connection, you know? It's kind of like the heart of Christian belief, right?
Absolutely.
But what if I told you that the foundation for this whole idea was actually laid down way earlier,
Oh, yeah.
like centuries before in the Old Testament?
That's a great point, and it's something that a lot of people miss.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're gonna like unpack in this deep dive today.
Yeah, for you.
For you, the listener.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we tend to think of the Old and New Testaments as, you know,
Totally separate things.
separate, totally different.
Yeah.
But today we're going to see how the Old Testament actually provides these like essential building blocks
Right.
for understanding this whole concept of union with Christ.
Yeah, and how it kind of flows naturally out of what we see in the Old Testament.
Right. So to help us with this, we're going to be diving into this lecture series by Dr. Robert A. Peterson
Okay.
on the Holy Spirit and union with Christ. And specifically, we're looking at session six, where he unpacks these Old Testament foundations
Bless that.
of like incorporation and mediators.
Okay.
So think of this as like a journey back in time, you know,
Right.
to see how God's relationship with his people in the Old Testament wasn't just some kind of like prelude,
Right.
but the actual bedrock upon which this whole New Testament idea of union with Christ is
It's
built. It's
foundational.
foundational. Yeah. Okay, so let's start with this idea of incorporation, becoming God's people corporately.
Right.
What does that actually mean?
Well, it's interesting when you look at the Old Testament and how God establishes these covenant relationships,
Right.
his focus isn't primarily on individuals in isolation.
Okay.
He's forming a people, a community,
Okay.
bound together by this
See
covenant.
corporate people.
Exactly.
Okay.
Dr. Peterson uses this great example of the covenant of circumcision
Oh, yeah.
in Genesis 17.
Right.
God declares to Abraham, "I will be God to you, Abraham, and to your seed after you." Notice how there's this like dual promise there.
Yeah.
It's personal to Abraham, of course,
Yeah.
but it also extends to his descendants as a
Right.
collective, a group.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, coming from like a Western perspective, especially in America,
Yeah.
we often emphasize the individual, right?
Very individualistic.
Very individualistic. Yeah. Our relationship with God can feel very personal, like,
Me and Jesus.
yeah, me and God.
Yeah.
It's like almost exclusively that.
Right.
But it sounds like the Old Testament kind of paints a broader picture.
Absolutely, it does.
Yeah.
Individual faith and responsibility are definitely still there.
Yeah.
But the overarching narrative in the Old Testament
Right.
revolves around God's relationship with his people as a whole.
Okay.
First Israel, of course,
Yeah.
and then as the New Testament reveals the
Yeah.
church.
Right.
So when we think about our personal union with Christ,
Right.
which is undeniably real and vital,
Right.
we also have to grasp that when we are united to Christ through the Holy Spirit,
Okay.
we are brought into union with everyone else
Oh.
who shares that same connection to him.
It's like this huge family reunion or something.
It's this beautiful picture
Yeah.
of being joined together into one body, as Dr. Peterson describes it.
Wow.
And the Old Testament lays the groundwork for this understanding.
Okay.
This corporate relationship is established and maintained through covenants,
Okay.
which brings us to this crucial role of mediators.
Okay, so these covenant mediators,
Yeah.
who are they and why are they so important in this whole story?
So the fundamental concept here is that when God enters into these covenant agreements with his people,
Right.
he often does so through a specific individual
Okay.
who acts as a representative for the entire community.
I see.
Adam is the first example Dr. Peterson discusses.
Okay.
He wasn't just one man.
Right.
In the covenant of creation, sometimes called the covenant of works,
Yeah.
he stood as the representative head of all humanity.
Okay.
Romans 5 really clearly illustrates how Adam's sin had consequences for everyone he represented,
Right.
bringing sin and condemnation upon all.
So it's like this idea of representative headship,
Yes,
right? So
exactly.
what Adam did wasn't just like his own personal failing. It
Brando.
affected
It
everyone.
had ramifications for all of humankind.
Yeah. And then Dr. Peterson brings in Noah
Yes.
as another key figure in this line of representation.
Yes, this kind of second Adam figure after the flood.
Right.
It's amazing how the language used in Genesis 9,
Okay.
when God blesses Noah and his sons
Yeah.
and commands them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth,
Yay.
echoes the language of creation in Genesis 1 and 2.
Wow.
So, like Adam, Noah stands as this representative figure for humanity
Okay.
in a new post-judgment world.
Right. So just as one man's actions had these universal consequences, the perfect obedience of the last Adam offers universal redemption.
It's a beautiful parallel.
It is, yeah.
And it highlights the profound scope of Christ's work, going beyond individual salvation to address the very fabric of humanity.
That's powerful. And all of these Old Testament mediators, as important as they were, they seem to point towards someone even greater, don't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The New Testament is so clear
Yeah.
that Christ is the ultimate and final covenant mediator.
Okay.
1 Timothy 2.5 says, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus."
Right.
Dr. Peterson identifies what he calls the big five Old Testament covenant mediators.
Okay.
Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and David.
Okay.
And their individual roles and the covenants that God establishes through them.
Right.
They all foreshadow this unique and all-encompassing mediation of Jesus.
So in what ways is Jesus the superior mediator compared to these Old Testament figures?
Right. So what sets him apart?
Yeah.
Hebrews 9.15 states that Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant.
Okay.
And what's really significant here is the effectiveness of his sacrifice.
Okay.
Dr. Peterson emphasizes that Jesus' death on the cross,
right,
offered through the eternal Holy Spirit,
right,
was so powerful that it actually secured forgiveness.
Wow.
For the sins of God's people throughout all of history.
All of history.
Including those who lived in the Old Testament.
So even though believers in the Old Testament lived before Jesus,
right,
their forgiveness wasn't just like a temporary thing.
It wasn't just God overlooking their sin.
Okay.
They were forgiven through faith in God's appointed means at that time. Even without the full revelation of Jesus' work.
Right.
God, in his eternal plan, knew the sacrifice that would ultimately atone for their sins.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's a beautiful picture of God's grace.
It is.
And going back to that idea of incorporation.
Yeah.
Just as Old Testament believers were incorporated into the people of God,
right,
New Testament believers are joined to the very body of Christ, the church.
So the New Testament isn't like a brand new story.
It's not starting from scratch.
Yeah.
It's the continuation and the culmination of this long history of God's covenantal relationship with his people.
That connection between the Old and New Testaments is becoming so much clearer.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so let's delve a bit deeper into each of these big five mediators.
Okay.
And explore their significance in laying the groundwork for our union with Christ.
All right.
So let's start with Adam.
Okay.
We've already touched on his role as like the representative of humanity.
Yep. Right, the first man.
Yeah. But what other insights does Dr. Peterson offer about his significance?
So as the steward of creation, Adam was entrusted with this huge responsibility of ruling on God's behalf.
Right.
However, the fall totally marred this stewardship and revealed humanity's profound need for grace.
Right.
Romans 8 and Colossians 1 talk about how creation itself fell under this curse and awaits redemption through Christ.
Okay.
Paul, in Romans 5 and 1 Corinthians 15, draws this really powerful parallel between Adam, the first covenant head, and Christ, the last Adam, or the second man.
Right.
Christ is presented as the only other covenant head who achieved perfect righteousness.
Oh.
And as Dr. Peterson notes, a long-held understanding in Christian theology is that even Adam and Eve themselves were beneficiaries of Christ's atoning work through faith.
So they were saved.
That's the belief.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So just as one man's disobedience brought sin, one man's perfect obedience brings righteousness.
Wow.
This contrast underscores the comprehensive nature of Christ's redemptive work.
That's a really powerful way to look at it.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Okay, what about Noah?
Okay.
This second Adam figure.
Right.
How does his role contribute to our understanding?
So as we talked about, Noah represents a new beginning for humanity.
Okay.
After the judgment of the flood.
Right.
God's commands to him and his sons in Genesis 9 echo the creation mandate given to Adam and Eve in Eden.
Right, right.
The rainbow serves as the sign of the Noahic covenant, God's promise to never again destroy all life on earth with a flood.
Right.
Noah's role in this renewed world foreshadows Christ's ultimate role.
Okay.
In the complete renewal of all things.
Wow.
The new heavens and the new earth.
Yeah.
In a sense, Christ is also a second Noah.
Okay.
The mediator through whom God permanently restores his creation.
So this idea of God establishing a new beginning through Noah.
Exactly.
Representing humanity.
Right.
provides a framework for understanding how Christ offers a radical new beginning
right.
for those united with him.
For those who are in him.
Yeah, that's a great point. Okay, so moving on to Abraham,
okay,
who represents the beginning of God's chosen people.
Right.
What's the crucial aspect of his role as a mediator that helps us understand our union with Christ?
Abraham's calling in Genesis 12 powerfully illustrates that salvation is entirely by God's grace.
Right.
Abraham came from a background of idol worship.
Oh, wow.
He did nothing to earn God's favor. Okay. God's covenant with Abraham is so foundational to the whole biblical narrative that Dr. Peterson suggests we could almost view the overarching covenant as the Abrahamic New Covenant, with the Mosaic and Davidic covenants kind of operating within that larger framework.
Okay.
Galatians 3 emphasizes that the Abrahamic covenant, which is based on grace received through faith in the promised seed who is Christ, predates and takes precedence over the law given through Moses.
So the law kind of comes in later.
It does.
Okay.
The law served as a temporary guardian, a jailer, and a pedagogue, as Paul calls it, to reveal our sinfulness and our need for Christ.
So Abraham's justification by faith, pointing to Christ, shows us that even in the Old Testament, being in right standing with God, a kind of foreshadowing of our union with Christ, was based on God's grace.
Not on human effort.
Not on human effort, And that promise God made to Abraham wasn't just about his individual future, was it?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
God promised to make Abraham a great nation.
Right.
And to bless all the families of the earth through his offspring.
Right.
Ultimately fulfilled in Jesus.
Right.
That's why the New Testament begins with the genealogy of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The son of David, the son of Abraham.
Right.
Genesis 15:6 is a pivotal verse.
Okay.
Abraham believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness.
Right.
This is a foundational truth echoed throughout the New Testament.
Yeah.
Particularly in Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews.
Yeah.
Salvation comes through God's grace received by faith.
Right.
Furthermore, the promise of land to Abraham, while having a literal fulfillment, also serves as a type of foreshadowing of the new heavens and the new earth.
Wow.
Our ultimate inheritance.
Yeah.
As Hebrews 11 tells us, Abraham himself looks forward to that ultimate city with foundations whose designer and builder is God.
Wow. That's beautiful. Okay, now we come to Moses.
Yes.
Who's probably the figure most people immediately associate with mediation in the Old Testament.
Absolutely. He's kind of the go-to guy.
He is, yeah.
Moses was the mediator of the Old Covenant established at Mount Sinai.
Okay.
Which formally constituted Israel as God's chosen people.
Right.
In Exodus 19, God tells Israel that if they fully obey his voice and keep his covenant, they will be his treasured possession.
Right.
A kingdom of priests and a holy nation.
Right.
Language that's echoed in 1 Peter 2 in the New Testament.
Okay.
Describing believers in Christ.
Okay, so there's that connection again.
Right, that continuity.
Yeah.
However, Israel repeatedly failed to live up to the demands of this covenant.
Right, they weren't perfect.
Not at all. And they constantly needed Moses to intercede on their behalf.
Yeah, always get in trouble.
Always.
Yeah.
Paul's deep desire in Romans 9:3 to be accursed for the sake of his people reflects this same mediatorial heart, echoing Moses' willingness to stand between God and a rebellious people.
Wow, that's amazing.
But ultimately, Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it perfectly, as Matthew 5:15 says.
Right.
Romans 10:4 tells us that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes.
Okay.
Well, Moses was a faithful servant in God's house.
Right.
Hebrews 3 makes it clear that Christ as the son over God's house possesses a far superior authority and glory.
Right.
The new covenant mediated by Christ actually supersedes.
Okay.
And in a sense, annuls the Mosaic covenant as explained in Hebrews 7 and 8.
Wow. So the law was meant to bring life.
It was.
But it ultimately revealed our inability to live up to God's standards.
Right.
Highlighting our need for a mediator.
Exactly.
Who could perfectly fulfill God's will.
Yes.
And that's Jesus.
That's Jesus.
Okay, finally, let's discuss David.
Right.
And the covenant God made with him.
Yeah, the covenant of kingship that God established with David in 2 Samuel 7:1, 12, 16 is so significant for understanding the person and work of Jesus.
Okay.
God promised David that his offspring would reign over God's kingdom forever.
Wow.
That God would be a father to him.
Right.
And he would be a son to God in this unique way.
Okay.
These very themes and even some of the same language appear in Mary's Magnificat.
Right.
And Simeon's prophecy concerning Jesus.
Okay.
The ultimate Davidic king, the Messiah.
Right.
Is not merely a descendant of David.
Okay.
But also David's Lord.
Wow.
As Jesus himself pointed out in Matthew 22.
Right.
When quoting Psalm 110.
Yeah.
This highlights Jesus' divine nature.
Okay.
He is the greater David.
Yeah.
The ultimate covenant mediator.
Okay.
Who brings his people true and lasting rest from their enemies.
Right.
And perfectly represents them as God's own son.
Wow. Tracing these threads from the Old Testament really does illuminate this incredible richness and depth of our union with Christ in the New Testament.
It's amazing how it all connects.
It is. It's like the New Testament isn't a completely new story.
Right.
But the glorious climax of a story God has been unfolding from the very beginning.
It all fits together.
Yeah. So for you, the listener.
Yes.
This deep dive into the Old Testament reveals.
Frankly, yeah.
That our union with Christ isn't a theological afterthought.
Right.
But the culmination of God's long-standing plan.
It's mind-blowing.
It really is.
It is, yeah.
This raises a crucial question for you to consider.
Okay.
How might this understanding of representative figures and corporate identity in the Old Testament reshape how you view your own personal relationship with Christ and your connection to the Christian community today?
Yeah.
What does it truly mean to be part of this new humanity in Christ, building upon this rich history of God's covenantal relationship with his people?
It's something to think about.
It is, you know, context with profound implications for how we see ourselves, our relationship with God.
And our connection with one another in the body of Christ.
That's a great place to leave it.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening.